Our labour market continues to squeeze tighter based on the latest Stats New Zealand quarterly figures. Wages rose at an annual rate of 3.4%. That is the highest seen in 14 years, while unemployment remains very low, though it has risen marginally to 3.3%. Raises the question, what is the ideal jobless rate? On the line is Craig Rennie, the New Zealand Council of Trade Unions chief economist, and Bryce Wilkinson, a senior fellow at the New Zealand Initiative. Good morning to you both.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Bryce, I want to start with you first. When you looked at those figures, because you've been raising concerns about the Reserve Bank and inflation, do you worry that there is going to be a spiral of wages and prices and that we're going to get into real trouble here?
Yeah, this was bad news, that wages inflation control, that wages had risen so much in the last quarter and thereby in the last year. And they'd risen a little bit faster than bank economists like the ANZ or the Reserve Bank in its last May forecast had anticipated. So I imagine financial markets will be starting to increase their probabilities that the Reserve Bank will have to push its OCR up, that's the official cash rate, up a bit further than people might have been hoping before this news.
Craig, yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? So you've got wage rises and low unemployment being presented in some aspects, and when we talk about inflation, as bad news. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's certainly a nice problem to have. What I would say is that although the labour cost index rose 3.4%, a third of workers didn't get a pay rise last year. And only 26% of workers got a pay rise of 5% or more. So for many workers, wages aren't spiralling up. They're spiralling down in real terms right now.
So, Bryce, what is the rate of unemployment that you think this economy can handle, if that's the way to put it, in terms of the ideal jobless rate? I mean, it's such a vexed question, but what is your sense?
Yeah, well, I lived through the 1960s when, you know, a couple of hundred people registered unemployed was, you know, regarded as, you know, a bit higher than was acceptable. Then we saw the long climb, rise in unemployment. I think in those days, a lot of it was disguised unemployment, had massive numbers of workers in railways and the post office and the like, which I think governments had used to soak up the unemployment rate a bit. There isn't an ideal rate. There's a rate of unemployment at which economists might think for current circumstances that won't be causing inflation to break out. Things will be fairly stable. But that very much depends upon what government policies are doing to sort of keep people out of work who might otherwise be in work. So, you know, the level of welfare benefits relative to wages is relevant. How high the minimum wage is important. How well educated the workforce is and how skilled they are. So whether they can find a job at the minimum wage is important. And I just don't have an explicit figure that's an answer.
I understand.
Yeah.
Craig, is the system a bit broken? If we are in this constant battle between having unemployment or inflation, I mean, surely having people in jobs is the better of the two in terms of social outcomes.
It absolutely is. And just this year, we saw a New Zealand study, or at least partly authored by a New Zealand study, which showed that the impact of unemployment, as opposed to inflation, the impact of unemployment was 10 times larger than the impact of inflation on well-being. So, you know, we want to see as many people in work as we can. And let's not forget in this data, there's still nearly 200,000 people in the data who want more work and can't get it. So we're not yet at the full employment rate, you know, that we want to have.
But Bryce, the concern is, I've heard this from, I think from yourself and others, is that we'll end up with both if we get an entrenched inflation at very high levels. Eventually, the economy will be hurt. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I agree with the points Craig just made. But, yeah, that's the ideal. And that's what we'd like to see. But it's not the track we're on, unfortunately. And the Reserve Bank's sort of got its back to the wall now. And it can't let entrenched inflation get away. So it's just got to keep going.
So the issue here is surely about how quickly, and we're going to talk about this a bit later in the program too, how quickly do you bring inflation under control? Does it have to be done quickly and cause a lot of pain, or can it be done more slowly and gradually to protect jobs? I'll start with you first, Craig.
Well, it's really important to note where the inflation is actually coming from, because that dictates how successfully you can use the inflation rate lever to try and tackle it. If it's coming from oil prices, if it's coming from overseas, from trade restrictions, from other things, then using the inflation rate really is not a really direct tool to challenge those prices. And certainly what we're not seeing right now is wages driving those prices. We're not seeing wages pushing on pricing right now. So it's really an extent to which the interest rate lever is going to be useful in that. And we want to see that done carefully. We want to see that in a way which doesn't rapidly increase unemployment, because we tried that. We did that during the 80s and the 90s, and it led to long-term destruction.
Sure. Almost out of time, so I just want a very quick answer from you on that one, Bryce. Do you think we need to move hard and fast, so to speak, on this one, or give it a bit of time?
Yeah, the Reserve Bank's got to show that it's determined to get inflation down. Otherwise, wage and prices will start being set on the expectation of big increases, and then it's got a real problem on its hands.
Bryce Wilkinson, thank you very much for your time. Senior Fellow at the New Zealand Initiative. Also speaking to Craig Rennie, the New Zealand Council of Trade Unions Chief Economist.